Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 10th day of May 2024. On April 15th, Bishop Mari Emanuel of Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakely, New South Wales, was attacked by a teenager shouting Allahu Akbar, the Islamic phrase in Arabic, which means God is great, repeatedly stabbing the bishop, which resulted in the bishop losing an eye and stabbing several other individuals in the congregation. And this has brought even further attention to Bishop Mari Emanuel by people of all stripes of Christianity, whether they be Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Evangelical, who are lifting up Mari Emanuel as a hero, who are viewing him as a Christian leader, who are saying that we should be following his example of forgiveness of his attacker. And so today, I thought it was very important, in spite of some of the criticism I've already received, to have someone on the program who is thoroughly knowledgeable of Mari Emanuel, and discuss his theology, his church, to discuss his gospel, and to be more informative from the truth of the scriptures to our listeners as to whether he should be held in high esteem as a genuine Christian leader, in spite of any of the numerous admirable things that we can truthfully say about this man. And to do this is Dr. Tony Costa, a dear friend of mine for many years, a returning guest to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, who is the professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. He's also an author, debater, and conference speaker. We may even be having him out to Pennsylvania in 2025 to debate on egalitarianism. He would be opposing the view that women have equal roles and functions in the body of Christ to men. And we are still working on that, and hopefully that will come to fruition, and we'll keep you updated. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Tony Costa.
Thank you, Chris. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, if you could tell us about this Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakely, and I may be mispronouncing that, New South Wales.
Yes, the Good Shepherd Church is a church that was established by Bishop Mari Emanuel. Let me just say right off the bat that that's not his real name. I mean, his actual name, his real name is Robert Schleiman. He was born July 19th, 1970 in Baghdad in Iraq. So he's Iraqi by birth. It came as a great shock to me. I thought he was an older gentleman. I just realized that I'm older than him. So that came as a great shock to me.
So am I.
There you go.
When you got a long white beard, it ages yourself decades.
Oh, of course. Yeah, my wife says the same when I grow a beard. But so he was born in Iraq. So he's Iraqi by birth. And he was ordained as a priest in the Assyrian Church of the East in 2009. And then he became a bishop actually 2 years later in 2011 of Christ Good Shepherd in Wakeley, New South Wales, Australia. And the reason why he goes by the name Mari Emmanuel is because that was the name that he took when he was consecrated into the ministry or into the clergy. The other thing we should also make clear, Chris, just that so that for the sake of transparency, and I would also join my voice to yours, that I've also been attacked as well on my social media circles for bringing out the differences and the theological differences, and people act like we should just ignore those or just cover them up in light of the recent attack. And so you can still have a transparent discussion on these things without taking away from the fact, as we're going to talk in a minute, that that Bishop Mari Emmanuel is someone who's actually a winsome character. He's actually a very nice man. He's not a horrible person, as some people try to make him out as just this devious heretic. But we'll talk about that as well, and what counts as heresy as well in terms of his theology. But I think it's important to realize, Chris, that we're living in an age where theology doesn't matter for most people. They just think as long as he's a nice person, he's making good claims and sermons, theology shouldn't hold us back. And this is where I get very concerned, is that when we start seeing the dwindling of theology, that this becomes a very slippery slide that we get on. And so we need to maintain the sound doctrine that has been passed down to the church, that is through the apostles and through scripture, and hold on to that. Let me just say that the ancient church of the East came out of it. It branched from the Assyrian church of the East in 1964. It's not to be confused with the Chaldean Catholic Church. The Chaldean Catholic Church is in full communion with the Bishop of Rome, that is with the Pope. And so their liturgy may be Orthodox or Orientalist Orthodox, but the Chaldean Catholic Church remains in union, that is in full communion with the Pope as their head. The other thing I think we need to also know about Mari, he's a bit of a controversial figure. He was suspended from his bishopric in 2014. And one of the reasons for that is he was accused by the archbishop with violating certain canon laws, believe it or not, of the Council of Nicaea. And so for just a few I'll mention, he was accused of, for example, placing pictures in the church. And if you look at some Assyrian churches of the East, they don't have pictures or icons.
Really?
Yes. If you look at some of their churches inside the inner sanctum of the churches, you will notice they don't have pictures. They'll have a bare cross. It would almost look like as something Zwingli would have been proud of, you know, no images, huh. Nothing, just white walls. And so, and the reason I know this is I've pastored and baptized married girl, but both of them were from the Assyrian Church of the East. And so I got to know a lot about that particular domination. So he includes pictures. If you notice in his videos, you'll have pictures in the background of Mary and Jesus, icons of Mary and Jesus, and you'll have one of St. Cyril, for example. The other thing as well was you're supposed to live on the premises as a bishop. You're not supposed to live with other people, but he was living apparently with his mother, I think, or something. And the archbishop says, well, you can't do that. It goes against canon law. And the other thing was his eschatology is they called it very sensationalistic. He almost sounds like a dispensational about the tribulation coming and so forth. So he got in some trouble over that. Another area he got into trouble with was over running his own charity work. And I don't know what's so bad about running a charity to help the poor. But anyway, all of that to say that he apparently had he had collided with the archbishop on certain issues. And so 2014, he's deposed as bishop. In 2015, he establishes an independent church. And his church, Chris, is not recognized. It doesn't have any official status with the Assyrian Church of the East.
It's an independent church, correct?
Correct.
And it is neither Roman Catholic nor Eastern Orthodox, correct?
Correct. So they're very different. So the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox, many of them would consider the ancient Church of the East to be heretical because of the charge of Nestorianism. Sometimes the ancient Church of the East, the Eastern Church of the East, rather, is sometimes called Nestorian because it moved eastward. It went as far as China. They were Nestorian churches as far away as China and in India as well. And so this brings up a whole debate. We'll talk about this as well, Chris, about whether Mary is the mother of Christ or whether she is the mother of God, using the language of the Council of Ephesus and Chalcedon. We can talk about that because these are honorific titles, not for Mary. They're not to lift her up. They're actually to emphasize that Christ is God in human flesh. But we can talk about that. But there are some videos where Mary clearly disavows this language of Mother of God, and he sides with what Nestorius said. We should call Mary Christotokos, which means the Christ bearer, the mother of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the stories did not like the term Theotokos, which means the God bearer, that Mary bore God the Son in human flesh.
Although Protestants are not Nestorian, they would side with the Nestorians on that issue, wouldn't they? Most of us?
Well, this is sad, though. This is sad because historically, in the Protestant creeds, the confessions and the creeds of the Protestant churches, they affirm Chalcedon and Ephesus. There is nothing wrong with giving Mary that title, Theotokos, as long as it's understood in the context that what it's saying is that Mary carried God the Son in the flesh in her womb for 9 months. She bore him. She is the mother of a person. She's not the mother of a substance. She didn't give birth. You know, a pregnant woman doesn't say, you know, I'm going to have a blob of protoplasm. She says, I'm going to have a boy or I'm going to have a girl. And she knows that that's a person. And so Mary did not give birth to some substance like flesh.
Right.
She gave birth to a person. And so who was that person in her womb? Well, it was God the Son, second person of the Trinity in human flesh. And so when the council called her Theotokos, what it was saying was not that she preceded God or mothered God or was a member of the Godhead. What it's saying is the one she bore was the one person, God the Son, with two natures, the divine and the human. And it was to protect the hypostatic union of Christ. And apparently Nestorius was read as saying that there were two persons, the divine Son and the man Jesus. And so Nestorius was taken to mean she's not the mother of the divine one. She's the mother of the human side, the human part. And this is one of the most controversial issues, Chris, in church history. Scholars today, church historians still today, will debate whether or not Nestorius was actually Nestorian.
Right.
They believe that he was misunderstood. They believe that they were talking past each other. There was clearly a language barrier, Chris, between the West and the East. Their hypostases and ousia and prosopon and words like personae in Latin and talking about substantia, substance and essence. And so sometimes what would happen is some of these Eastern fathers, Greek fathers and Latin fathers would talk past each other. And the Greeks would say, well, there's three hypostases in the Godhead. And they would say, no, hypostasy is the nature, not the persons. And they accused each other of being modalist. So all of that to say is there's a lot of ink that has been spilled on this topic. And Dr. Michael Haken and many other church historians, I believe, have already addressed this. It continues to be addressed whether or not Nestorius was unjustly condemned.
Now, let's immediately and briefly, because it's not the main reason we're doing this show, but briefly respond to the charges of quite a number of people who heard about this program in advance through social media that we are being heartless in giving any kind of critique of Mari Emanuel, right, especially right now after he is recovering from losing an eye to the attack of this teenager who I'm assuming may be Muslim.
He might be.
Okay, because
he was a Muslim, Chris. He was 16 years old. He was a Muslim. And it's been confirmed by the media, by the police. And he was crying out, and I heard it on the video before YouTube yanked it out. He did cry out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. God is greater. Allah is greater. And then you could hear him saying that if he didn't insult my prophet, I wouldn't have attacked him.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you clarified that, because obviously we have leftist spoiled brats here in the United States on college campuses using Arabic phrases in support of Islam in Palestine. And yet these very people would not last 5 minutes under Sharia law. You know, you have drag queens saying free Palestine.
Oh, yeah. We have them here at the University of Toronto. They took over the campus. They called it Little Gaza. And they have no idea what they're talking about. And then you have, again, you have LGBT groups like Queers for Palestine. And they're told over and over again, in Gaza, they would find the highest building and throw you off of there and then stone you to death.
Right. Well, can you defend what we're doing today briefly? Because especially in regard to the timing, this man was recently attacked.
Yeah.
And could have lost his life, but lost an eye. So,
is this
wrong timing for us to be doing this?
No, I don't think so. We were going to talk about it anyway. I know it was on your list of things to do.
Right.
We were going to talk about this anyway. I know you, Chris. Well, you were going to cover this. I know you, Chris. Like I said, we've known each other for many, many years. It's not a matter of timing. It's a matter of look. Theology matters. And we hear our common friend, Dr. James White, say this over and over and over again. Theology matters. And when Christians say things like, well, you shouldn't be talking about this, not in light of what's happening, and especially now. It's one thing to lose an eye. And I really feel for him, because losing an eye is very traumatic. But theology is important. The gospel is at stake. I don't think the Apostle Paul in Galatians would go on a temporary leave just so not to offend certain people in the Galatian church. He came right out and said, no, this is another gospel, and that other gospel is anathema, and it will damn your souls. So I think that the truth of the gospel, as Paul says in Galatians, the truth of the gospel was at under attack. And so we were going to talk about this regardless.
And he's also returned to his church, and he's preaching again. He's not still in a hospital bed.
Right. So he's come back to the church, and he's still preaching theology. So I think it's important for us to realize that Satan does not take any coffee breaks, and I don't think Christians should as well. We should always be always ready to give a defense for the hope that we have in Christ.
This is not,
as you know, Chris, this is not to demean Mari Emanuel.
Right.
As we will talk about, he is a winsome character, and he's charitable.
Yes, and I also, before we go into the critique aspect further, when we come back from our first commercial break, he is a hard person to be pigeonholed. He is an extraordinarily gifted orator. I am sure that there are many evangelicals who would sell all their possessions if they could possess his gifts at oratory. He is captivating. And the thing that makes him even more dangerous, perhaps, is that he, as I heard in a message today, he sounds like he is preaching the true gospel very often. He sounds like he is preaching the gospel of the Reformation. He sounds sometimes like he is teaching total depravity as far as the nature of man before regeneration. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a sermon that lasted over an hour today, and I barely could come up or find anything that he said that I disagreed with in the few times in the midst of the sermon, when there were disagreements with Reformed theology that were obvious, they were the same kind of things that many Arminian evangelicals would commonly say in a sermon. But then he contradicted the whole sermon at the very end before his prayer, when he was saying that we must believe in transubstantiation and the literal flesh and blood of Christ present in the Eucharist to be forgiven. I will play that clip after we return from the first commercial break. But so I'm not discounting this man as not having any gifts. He's biblically literate. He has infinitely more scripture in his sermons than Joel Osteen does, and very often is correctly interpreting them. So this is what makes this man more of a paradox. It makes him more confusing, and some people who have only heard perhaps some sermons or parts of sermons by him may be thinking, other than the weird costume, what do you have a problem with this guy? This guy sounds like he's born again. He sounds like he's got the same gospel as I do, and I'm a member of a Reformed Baptist church or a Presbyterian church or what have you. But you have to do enough listening to find where he is in grave area, even to the point of damning error. And we'll go and let's go into that when we return from our first commercial break.
Sure.
If anybody has any questions for Dr. Tony Costa on Mari Emanuel and his theology, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of himself.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by them mentioning that they heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you have any intention to buy yourself or someone you love jewelry, whether it's something that they already have in stock or if it's something that you want custom designed, perhaps you want to take your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, and turn it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or maybe you need an engagement ring and you want a one-of-a-kind, custom-designed engagement ring. Whatever the case may be, whether it's something they have in stock or something custom-designed, the 100% of the profits of that sale will go directly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please go to royaldiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer to us where we get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. That's royaldiadem.com. Always mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary, and we are providing for you a critical examination of Bishop Mari Emanuel of Christ the Good Shepherd Church in a suburb of Sydney, Australia. And Tony, I'm going to play a clip. You are with us, right, Tony? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to make sure. I'm going to play you a clip.
Nope, the rapture hasn't happened yet, Chris.
I'm going to play you a clip of Mari Emanuel that was at the very end of a sermon that in most ways sounded excellent to me, unless I missed something. He even gave a great analogy that I had never heard before of when Jesus Christ said he came to bring the good news to the poor. And he was saying, when you give money to a beggar, how are they acting and speaking in truth that they are truly poor? You know, and because there are a lot of scam artists out there, and one who is truly poor has no inheritance and cannot work. It is absolutely impossible for them to work, for them to be rightly out there begging. And he compared that to a spiritual pauper. The spiritual pauper who is lost has inherited nothing but the sin of Adam and death, and he cannot work to gain eternal life. There's nothing he can do. And therefore, Jesus Christ gives him that good news that he can be the heir of a great inheritance. and can have eternal life, even though he cannot work at all for it, which was another contradiction in his theology, because he sounded like a Calvinist at that point.
Right.
But right at the end, this is what Mar Emmanuel had to say.
Take my body, fig, and take my blood, grapes, and I have plugged my body, which is the fig, out of the thorn, and I have plugged my blood, which is the grapes, out of the briars. He took the sins of the whole world. He took the sins of the human race, thorns and the briars, and made them a crown over his head. And out of this crown, thorn of crown, he gave me his body and blood on the cross. It is his body and blood in the truth. It's not symbolic. It's not bread and wine. It's the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe in that, then you are still living in sin. You're still captive. You're still bound. When you come and believe that this is the body and the blood, and you receive it, believing that it is the true body and the true blood, your sins are forgiven. Jesus came to proclaim liberty for you, who as a sinner, willingly and unwillingly, captive and bound, thorn and briar, thief and robber.
Well, that is the clip I wanted to play, and we have been disconnected by Dr. Costa. So hopefully he can hear me now. Can you hear me, Tony?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay.
I just lost you when you were playing the clip.
Okay. Well, he was basically saying that you are still enslaved by your sin if you are not acknowledging that the elements of bread and wine in the Eucharist are not bread and wine, that they are the true body and blood of Christ.
Right.
And so, therefore, it's interesting that there are evangelicals who would be, and of course, ecumenical Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, who would be saying, how dare you denounce someone as being a false teacher, as being dangerous, just because they disagree with you on certain things. This is a wonderful man. He is willing to be a martyr for what he believes. He's forgiven the person that stabbed his eye out of his skull. Would you do that?
Right.
Would you be willing to forgive that person? So how dare you? Well, here you have Mar Emmanuel. That was not an ecumenical statement with evangelical Protestants, because we don't eat the real flesh and drink the real blood of Christ. You have any further comment on that?
That's right. Well, yes. Well, that's not the gospel. I mean, in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, was raised. And the gospel is the gift of God in Christ Jesus. It's the free gift of eternal life. And that is not the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is for regenerate Christians. It's for the church, but it's given to you when you come to Christ. So that's why we believe baptism should be performed after someone has come to faith. Just like Acts 2:38, the people heard the gospel and then they were baptized when Peter preached. And then in terms of the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper, again, is for believers. It doesn't make you a believer. It doesn't regenerate you. It's what regenerate believers do in commemoration of Christ. And so when you make transubstantiation a basis for salvation, and Rome would agree with that, but then Rome is much more open and much more
inconsistent.
Liberal,
they're inconsistent, Rome.
Correct.
Modern Rome, not the traditionalist guys.
Correct. That's right. And so he was doing well. I mean, he was doing well. I mean, it's almost like the Judaizers, where they're preaching Christ, they're preaching the crucified Christ, the risen Savior. They're preaching the gospel. And then they said, but you need to be circumcised and you need to keep the law and so forth to be saved. So this is the issue, the theological problem with Mar Emmanuel is that he comes across, he preaches out of the Bible, and he's very a stellar message, as you yourself have noted. But then he'll bring this aspect of the of the tradition of the church, he'll bring that aspect. And it is a tradition of the church, Chris. Transubstantiation developed and evolved in church history. And it really comes out when you come to the 11th and into the 12th century, especially with Thomas Aquinas as well.
It's absent in the patristic era, is it not?
It is. It's absent. And there's clear references in the early fathers, anti-Nicene fathers of the Supper of the Lord being a figure of his body, a figure of his blood, and so forth. And it's not until you get into the turn of the millennium that you start getting this talk about fusing real presence and transubstantiation together. So the early fathers could speak of the real presence of Christ, but not in a not in terms of transubstantiation.
And they did not worship the elements of the Eucharist.
No. And in fact, that evolved. Well, that was already current in the time of Thomas Aquinas, and it starts, I think, around the 1200s AD or end of the 1190s to the 1200s. That's when you start having the adoration of the Eucharist, and Aquinas himself talks about how he adores the Eucharist, the host as Christ himself. And so that developed within church history. I mean, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Eastern Church has nothing of this and nothing like this. And so it's clearly a development in the Western Church.
Well, now I'm going to play another clip of Mar Mari Emanuel where you really hear his full-blown idolatry. And this is in regard to Mary, the mother of Jesus.
We thank you, God, for choosing Mary to be the vessel, to be the ark, to be the citadel, to be the second heaven. You are so unique, Holy Mother. In every aspect, you are unique. In every aspect, you surpass every human being, even the angelic orders. Your Son, who is God Jesus Christ, has elevated you and venerated you and venerated you above every level, including the angelic orders. I bow with humility before your feet, begging you, Mother, to intercede to your beloved Son, because if there is any heart that understands the sacred heart of Jesus Christ, is the heart of Mary. Mother, I beg you, intercede to your Son to have mercy on me, I the sinner. You are my holy mother who lives forever, who is with me forever, who prays and intercede for me unceasingly. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me such a perfect, wonderful, unique, special, so elevated of a human being called Maryam of Nazareth. Mom, intercede for all of us. To your beloved Son, to have mercy on his church and to have mercy on this turmoiled world. Holy Mother, I beg you from the bottom of my heart, pray and intercede to your Son to have mercy on every lost sheep, on every sick soul, on every soul that is being held captive in prison, in dungeons, whether they are spiritual, satanic dungeons, or physical dungeons. Through your intercession, may your Son release them.
And there you have disturbing, idolatrous portion of a sermon from Mar Mari Emanuel. And there are even evangelicals, many, who will say we are quibbling over tertiary issues here. They will say that's at worst misplaced devotion, but it's not idolatry. I mean, give the guy a break. Mary is a unique woman in church history, and we should remember her with reverence. He just goes a little overboard, but this is clearly going into the realm of idolatry, isn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, words like I bow with humility before your feet, and he calls her the ark, which is also what Roman Catholics refer to her as. He calls her the second heaven. She has been elevated, and even Christ himself venerates her. And then he calls on her to intercede to her son for sinners. Well, why can we not come directly to Christ? I mean, Hebrews 4 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in time of need. We come boldly to the throne of grace because that access has been opened by the ripped flesh of the Son of God. When he died, the veil in the temple was rent in twain that we might enter into the very presence of God. And in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is only one God. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so Christ is our intercessor. He's our great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So this would be completely foreign to the New Testament writers. The apostles themselves never thought of Mary in this aspect. Every time we speak about, or the scripture speaks about access to God, it is always through his son, and it is open through his son. And there is only one mediator between God and man, not two, not three, but one mediator, Christ Jesus himself, who gave himself for us. And therefore, as our great high priest, he intercedes for us, for his people. And here we see again, this is what church tradition does, Chris. It always augments itself to the scriptures. There's an augment that is foreign to scriptures, alien to scripture. And what hope is this to, I mean, when the apostles were preaching the gospel in the book of Acts, they never, ever, 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 ever pointed people to Mary. They never asked people to come through the intercession of Mary. The gospel was always come to Christ, come to Christ. You can come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel message. This is not a tertiary matter. This is a gospel issue. And anything that violates the gospel is another gospel. And the word that Paul uses for another gospel is the strongest word in the Greek New Testament. It's the word anathema. It means to be under the judgment, the damnation of God. The Apostle Paul would never regard something like this as tertiary.
Yes, and people are just ignorant of the fact of why this is so important. It is stripping Christ of his uniqueness, his sovereignty, his power, all of his attributes, even stripping him of his compassion and his mercy and forgiveness, because according to a prayer like that, Jesus won't do it unless Mary is asking him to. Mary is more merciful. She's more compassionate, more forgiving.
Yeah, it's like the Roman Catholic prayer to Our Lady of Perpetual Help, where the prayer says that that Christ would not turn away the request of his mother.
You mean that prayer of Alphonse Liguori?
Yes, that's one of them. Yes, and of course he did turn her request at the wedding of Cana in John 2 about the making more wine and all that. But the point here is that the same thing applies in the Roman Catholic Church, Eastern Orthodox, is that Christ listens to his mother, and it's the mother that assuages the wrath of Christ and softens his heart towards sinners. There's nothing of this in the scriptures. This is completely foreign to the scriptures. And so if the gospel is the means by which God saves men and women, then how can a gospel that augments ideas, foreign ideas to it, how can that be the gospel of salvation? It's not.
Now, how would you respond to those who say, well, even if he is guilty as charged on his over-the-top and unbiblical adoration of Mary and his insistence on acceptance of transubstantiation that we have clearly demonstrated, his insistence on transubstantiation for forgiveness of sins, which is actually the consistent way to view the Roman Catholic teaching on this. I know that he's not Roman Catholic himself, but I'm saying that, as we already mentioned, post-Vatican II Catholics, even those that are very conservative, like those with Catholic answers, they are very inconsistent on this because they extend to us as who are Protestant and do not receive the Mass, the olive branch of brotherhood And they have no they have no business doing that if they really believe that John 6 is talking about the Mass. But how do you respond to people who say, well, yeah, we've heard that he has abuses in regard to Mary veneration and the Eucharist, but you haven't proven that he's a Pelagian, that he believes in works righteousness. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, he does believe in works righteousness, because if you look at some of his other sermons, he believes in baptism regeneration, that baptism is necessary for salvation. So it's not just believing in Christ, you need to be baptized to be saved. He even quotes Mark 16, verse 16, which is a questionable text. It's a spurious text, actually. But he quotes it, whoever believes in it is baptized shall be saved. He also affirms that in order to receive forgiveness from Christ, there's another famous sermon where he says, you cannot go, and I'm quoting him here. He says, you cannot go directly to Christ. He says, you can, but not always, that is, receive forgiveness. And I'm quoting him now. When I sin, this is Bishop Murray, when I sin, I cannot go to Jesus Christ directly because that sin separated me from him. Then he says, I need a saint who cannot sin anymore to approach Christ on his behalf. And so he also believes in the intercession of the saints, and believes that he cannot go directly to Christ for forgiveness. He needs to go through one of the saints. That is not the gospel. That is not 1 Timothy 2:5. And clearly he is saying here that you need a saint to intercede for you to the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. And again, that is not biblical at all. And to argue that this is acceptable and that this is not really a big deal. Once again, Chris, I'm sure the Judaizers believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of God, and so forth. And they would probably have said, well, Paul, come on. I mean, really, are we going to really quibble about circumcision? I mean, it's just a cut in the flesh and it will heal. What's the big deal? And Paul says, absolutely not. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing, and you have fallen from grace. So that's the key word here. If you add anything to the gospel of grace, it's no longer the gospel of grace. It's now the gospel of grace and works. And so Bishop Murray's approach is synergistic. It's not monergistic, where God alone does all the work. He believes you work alongside of God by eating the Eucharist, by getting baptized, etc. So he doesn't believe in eternal security. That's clear. That's obvious. And he does believe, obviously, he does believe that you can lose your salvation. So he's quite Arminian in that respect.
Well, we are going to our midway break. Please be patient with us. It's the longer break in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to geographically localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, where the radio station is located. And they do so with their own public service announcements that they air in the middle of the show on their end. On our end, however, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can, provided by as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers, keeping in mind that the finances that come through our advertisers are absolutely required to keep this show on the air. So please write down the contact information for our advertisers and also send us a question to Dr. Tony Costa regarding Mari Emanuel, chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back.
Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Arnson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And might I recommend a couple of books that are available through solid-ground-books.com. One is titled Two Men from Malta, A Shipwrecked Apostle. Apostle and a Toronto newspaper man challenge thoughtful Roman Catholics to examine their faith by Joe Sergi with Joel Niederhood. And so you could type in the search engine Two Men from Malta, M-A-L-T-A, and at the search engine of solid-ground-books.com. Another one I would recommend, in light of today's program, is Pulpit Crimes, The Criminal Mishandling of God's Word, by my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And just to brag about my own contribution to this book, I am the one who came up with the idea for the book, I came up with the title for the book, and I came up with the cover graphic concept. I did not create the artwork like I did with another book by Dr. James R. White, but I came up with the concept of the cover. I just thought I'd brag about myself a little bit. So that's Pulpit Crimes, The Criminal Mishandling of God's Word by Dr. James R. White. Go to solid-ground-books.com and order those. Please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Dr. Tony Costa on Mari Emanuel, we have some important announcements to make. If you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address at your post office the old-fashioned way. Well, there will also be a physical address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we also want to remind you that if you'd like to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your parish, your church ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, you are free to send me an email to tell me about your organization and what you want to advertise, because I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. We're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, I never want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners to give their own church less money than you normally give your church, in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. The Bible is extremely clear that we are primarily to use our finances with which He has blessed us, which is still His money. We are primarily to use that money to provide for our church and our family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of Scripture, obviously. So, please make sure that you are providing for your church and your family. But if you are blessed and above and beyond your ability to do that, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a biblically faithful church, just as I have done with many people all over the planet Earth in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So no matter where you live, if you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Tony Costa on Mari Emanuel. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Let's see. Dr. Costa, we do have a question from Lily in Brooklyn, New York. And Lily asks, have you heard any evidence from Mari Emanuel's sermons or writings that he would be guilty of believing in a heresy of works righteousness akin to what we see in the doctrine of Trent, where works are clearly cooperating with not only the works of Christ, but the works of Mary and the saints in order for salvation to be granted to a sinner?
Yeah, the answer would be yes. He does believe in works righteousness. That's why he mentions participation in the Eucharist is necessary for salvation. He believes baptism is necessary for salvation. If you're not baptized, you cannot be saved. And it is also the position of the Assyrian Church of the East that works and faith work together to achieve salvation. And so they are in agreement with the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Orientalist Orthodox Church, which includes the Coptic Church, the Armenian Church, the Ethiopian Church, and so forth. So they don't believe in sola gratia, grace alone. They don't believe in sola fide, faith alone. They believe in a synergistic view that you need to cooperate with the sacraments, with divine grace, to achieve salvation. And so, yes, he makes that very abundantly clear that you cannot be saved by faith alone in Christ alone, by grace alone.
Even though he is no longer affiliated with those other denominations you mentioned.
That's correct. But he does follow, even though he's established his own church, he does follow the Eastern Syriac tradition, which comes from the Assyrian Church of the East. So that's the liturgy that he uses.
Okay. By the way, thank you, Lily. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word to your fellow Brooklynites and others that you know throughout the world. Let's see. We have Byron in Manhasset, Long Island, New York. And Byron says, I heard that Mari Emanuel forgave his attacker and said to him, that he forgives him because he is his son and he loves him. Is that a proper way for any Christian to forgive someone, even if they are a cleric? Should we dare tell anyone that they are our son?
Yeah, that stems out of the idea of the cleric being father. So the Assyrian Church of the East employs the same language as the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox, and of course the Oriental Orthodox churches, and of course in the Church of England you also have priests called father as well. And it stems from this idea that the priest is a spiritual father to everyone, not just the church, but to everyone. And so,
really,
it's not unusual.
So, in other words, in those churches, mm-hmm. they would clerics would consider themselves my father, even though I reject Rome and denounce mm-hmm. it as a false church, and they would declare themselves the father of Muslims and Hindus and
yes.
Buddhists. And I didn't know that
yes.
part.
Yes, well, that's why their title is father. So if you're addressing a priest, whether you're Jewish or Muslim or whatever you may be, you address them as father.
Not
and
I.
It's not unusual.
I don't.
A lot of people have asked me if I'm a father, and I said yes. I have three children, and I'm a father.
See, I thought they only legitimized that on the basis of obviously there is the genuine concept of viewing somebody as your father in the faith, not through using the title father,
right?
But you are like a son in that you are you're nurtured by this person in the faith. Yeah. But a Muslim isn't being nurtured by Marmar Emmanuel
right.
in the faith,
right? Right, and that language is biblical. And Paul could speak of how he fathered the Corinthians, and he talks about how Timothy was his son in the faith, and Peter could refer to Mark as his son in the faith. But in Roman Catholicism, because of that global aspect, especially since post Vatican II, in the Roman Catholic Church and also in the ancient Church of the East, there is this idea that it's not uncommon for clergymen in those churches to address people who are seeking spiritual advice, irrespective of whether they're members of the church. It's not unusual for them to call them my son. That's not unusual. So that is why I think you have Mar Emmanuel talking like that, because he sees himself as not just a spiritual father, but as a father to Muslims, and because he sees them as potential converts.
Now, this is a more tricky area of that instance of Mar Emmanuel forgiving the Muslim who attacked him. Because it divides even Reformed Christians. Mm-hmm. The issue of pronouncing forgiveness upon an unrepentant person, there is a divide even between two brethren in Christ that I revere, who are both soteriologically Reformed, although one is a dispensationalist. John mm-hmm. MacArthur believes that we are to forgive everybody even if they never repent or even ask for our forgiveness. And Jay Adams, the late Jay Adams, who wrote the classic work From Forgiven to Forgiving, was very clear that he believed that we are only to forgive those that repent and request forgiveness of us. And he made it clear also that he still believed that we are to love our enemies, we are to pray for our enemies and do good for our enemies, but that is not the same thing as forgiveness. Because you are releasing a person from the bound of debt. They are no longer bound
right.
to debt when you forgive them. And therefore, if you are doing that to somebody unrepentant, you know, they may just continue sinning not only against you, but many, many, many other people in the same way. I tend to agree with Dr. Adams in this divide. Where are you on that?
Yeah, it is a very thorny question, because on the one hand, you have the Lord asking in Luke 23, you have the Lord asking the Father to forgive his murderers, forgive them for they know not what they do. And again, there's been a lot of debate about who are the they. Are they the Roman soldiers, the Jewish Sanhedrin? Who exactly are the they that Christ is calling the Father to forgive? Well, obviously, we're not specifically told, and there's no signs that they were repentant at that point when they were crucifying the Lord. And of course, you got Acts 7:59-60, where Stephen, the first deacon, is being stoned to death, and he calls on the Lord Jesus. He says, "Do not hold this against them," as if to say, "Don't seek retribution for what they're doing against me." So it's a tough one. In my own personal life, Chris, I've had to let go of anger and bitterness towards certain people. And in my heart, I had forgiven them, but I never told them that directly, that is, to their face. And eventually, surprisingly, by God's grace, these people did reconcile with me. They came back and they did seek forgiveness and they did. There was an official reconciliation. So I think that Bishop Murray, I'm not sure if he's doing that in the sense of releasing any sense of retribution against this person, or but I personally think that it may be injurious the way he said that, because it's almost like he's given carte blanche to this Muslim fellow that, you know, just go on a killing spree, kill other ministers or clergy members, attack them at the pulpit, because we're just going to let you off anyway. So I'm kind of in between those views, Chris. I mean, the jury's still out on that one for me. But I know from my own personal experience, forgiving someone in my heart and just letting it go without actually telling them that publicly, it was a way to just release a lot of anger and bitterness in my heart. And eventually they did reconcile with me. So that's where I stand. The jury's still out on that one for me.
Okay, we have Ida from Los Angeles, California, who says she is a born-again Christian Muslim apologist, and I don't judge him. And then she says, Marmar Emanuel clearly said baptism does not save you. She says, Tony, this is so sad that you have so much time in your hands to spend 2 hours criticizing Bishop Marmari in such critical times with Christians dying all around us. You guys put the Lord Jesus to shame, dividing the body of Christ. Why don't you get a speaker and go to your local mosque and tell all Muslims, Bishop Marmari is a heretic, and go do worst what you did on April 15th. I am sure he is praying for you too. If you have any problem with him, contact him and ask him to do a debate with you. He doesn't care what you say about him. Maybe you should do a radio program with Bishop Mari instead of talking behind him. Well, that's an interesting, she brings up many things. But there has been the question when Christians have criticized me whenever I have done a critique or an expose of a publicly known figure. They will say, that, how dare you, you're violating the principles set forth in the Gospel of Matthew on how we are to address a brother in error. And the difference is that in Matthew, those are sins committed against you in private. They're not some heresy that is being declared in the ears and eyes of, who knows, maybe millions of people on YouTube. So let's get that out of the way. We don't need to address Marmar Emanuel personally when what he has said is a matter of documentation on YouTube, and he has he has said things in that have been heard by millions, right?
Yeah, so anything that is said publicly is open to public critique. And so Matthew 18 doesn't apply, as you rightly said. It deals with private sin and then taking it to the person, then to the two witnesses, three witnesses, and then to the church. There's a hierarchy there. There's a pattern there. But when Bishop Murray goes online and makes public statements, then you are open to public exposition and critique. And so I think that our sister, I think, is probably doesn't realize that I've been debating Muslims and teaching on Islam for almost 30 years. I've debated them. I've seen them come to Christ. I've baptized many Muslim families. And I think she probably is not aware of the fact that I've dealt with interdenominational dialogues, and we do so out of love. We don't hate Bishop Murray. In fact, if Bishop Murray gets wind of this, we want to say we love him. We think he's doing a good job, but we do have some theological differences. I've had even people in my social media circles accusing me of why are you even talking about Bishop Murray and why are you wasting your time defending him? And so you get it from both sides, both barrels of the gun, where you get people who said you shouldn't deal with him. He's not a genuine Christian. Others would say, well, you shouldn't treat him that way because he's just been attacked and so forth. And he's a Christian. But I think what our sister in Los Angeles needs to realize is this. When you preach the gospel to someone, do you tell them that it's necessary to come to Christ through his mother, Mary? Do you teach them that Christ cannot forgive you directly? You must go to Christ through one of the saints. If that is the gospel you think is the gospel that the scriptures talk about, you got to read through Galatians. Because Galatians 1 is very clear that if we preach another gospel other than the gospel that has been revealed to us, that gospel is anathema. And so theology matters. We cannot compromise on theology and biblical doctrine. So the souls of people are at stake here. And so to simply dismiss this as an intramural fight, an in-house fight, is truly missing the mark, because we are calling out the fact that the souls of people are precious. And that if you and I, Chris, start telling people you can be saved through Jesus Christ, but you must come to him through his mother or through the intercession of a saint, you're not preaching the gospel. You're preaching a compromising message, which is not the gospel. And so, as Paul says in Galatians 1:10, if I'm here to please men, then why am I being accused? Why am I being attacked? If I was seeking to please men, then I would not be under attack. But I am under attack precisely because I'm preaching the gospel of Christ.
And by the way, Ida, I have every intention after this show to get the recording of this program into the hands of Mar Emanuel and invite him to a debate, whether it be a debate on my show, a debate in a public setting, like in a church, or any other public venue, a moderated, timed debate. So that is something that I do intend to do. Whether he accepts is up to him. I don't know. And I'm kind of puzzled about the way you phrased that you're a born-again Christian Muslim apologist. Did you mean by that you're a born-again Christian who is an apologist to Muslims? Is that what you meant? But that was just a confusing way of wording it. A born-again Christian Muslim apologist. Because you can't be a Christian and a Muslim, especially when Islam teaches that shirk is the unforgivable sin, the worst possible sin you can possibly commit, and all Christians, according to Muslims, are guilty of shirk, because according to them, we appoint partners to God when we declare the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, when we say that he is the God-man, fully God and fully man, God in the flesh. Am I wording that correctly, Tony?
Yes, absolutely. I'd give you a name, systematic theology.
She sent in another email. Forgot to say the Lord Jesus said, do not call anyone your father, but He also said, don't call anyone teacher. Is Pastor John MacArthur a teacher? Why do you call him a teacher? Well, that's a standard Roman Catholic defense of them calling their spiritual leaders father. And there's a big difference between the teacher, the word teacher being a description of somebody's role and using it as a title. I would be very leery of someone, in fact, I would approach them and lovingly rebuke them, who was calling out to John MacArthur, Teacher John, Teacher John, can you please assist me with understanding this? When Jesus said, do not call any man on earth your father, he was not obviously telling us not to call our biological male parent father. He was speaking specifically about those in the spiritual leadership realm. Anything to add to that, Tony?
Yeah, I would totally agree with you, Chris. The context of Matthew 23 is talking about the Pharisees. And there he says not to be like them. He said that they love to be called father. They love to be called rabbi. And they love to be receive the praise of men. But Jesus says, but it shall not be so among you. He says, you are brothers to one another. You are equals. And so he's referring to people using these vain titles to praise themselves. And therefore, that is why pastors and or elders in the church are not called fathers. We don't refer to them as father. And we don't call them teacher. You know, you'll find that in some good old Bruce Lee movies where they call the kung fu teacher teacher. But you do not use that title of pastors or elders. And so Pastor John MacArthur, you know, people don't call him Teacher John MacArthur. They call him Pastor John MacArthur. But as you rightly said, but his role is that of teaching and preaching.
Right. So the key word is here not to use those labels as titles, exalting titles. Right. Well, Ida, I believe you're a first-time questioner, so if you give me your full mailing address in Los Angeles, California, you will receive a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of NASBible.com, and compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CVBBS.com, who will actually ship the Bible out to you at no expense to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that is what we do here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever we have a first-time questioner.
Chris, let me just add very quickly, because I just said he doesn't teach that baptism is necessary for salvation. He does. All she has to do is go on YouTube and just look for his message on salvation. And he clearly says there that baptism is necessary for salvation. He quotes he quotes Mark 16:16, which is not part of Mark's original gospel. It is the long ending of Mark, which is considered spurious by a majority of scholars. And there Jesus says, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. And Mari Emanuel uses that text to show that that baptism is necessary for salvation. So it's available on YouTube. You could hear it from him, from the man himself.
Now, this would probably require an entirely separate program. I don't want to take us on too long of a rabbit trail. But I consider our conservative, Bible-believing Lutheran brethren as brethren. And they believe in baptismal regeneration. Am I wrong in doing
right.
so?
No, they do believe it. But here's the funny part is that they will still say that you're saved by grace and faith alone. They'll
right.
still say you are justified by faith alone. But the way that Lutheran theologians will speak of this is that God has already predestined you. Even though the later Luther didn't really talk about predestination, Pre-1525, absolutely, bondage of the will. Post-1525, Luther begins to downsize his predestinarian views. But it's still believed in the Lutheran church. And so what they would say is that if that child is truly part of God's elect, then that regeneration will be confirmed.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that because, in fact, you and I have a mutual friend, Joshua Schuping,
yes.
who just became...
Yes.
He left the Christian Missionary Alliance.
Christian Missionary Alliance,
and became,
right.
And became a Lutheran.
Right.
I disagree with his Lutheran distinctives, but at the same time, I still hold him as a brother in Christ.
Of course, of course.
Well, we have to go to our final break. If anybody else wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in a church that is very similar to Christ the Good Shepherd Church in the Sydney, Australia area, and you are struggling with things that you're hearing there and are questioning whether you should remain there, and you don't want to bring identity to yourself publicly, obviously that would be a reason to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back. Please do not go away.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to HopeReformedLI.net. That's HopeReformedLI.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic, and in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature, from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices, with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Welcome back. And folks, I want to remind you that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal accident or injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call my friend Dan Buttafuoco of Buttafuoco & Associates at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit the website 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you are a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. and that's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's absolutely free of charge. Not only is admission free and the lunch free, but every attendee gets a very heavy sack, maybe even two very heavy sacks, of free, brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. All of it absolutely free. If you want to register for this event on Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring keynote speaker Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And I just got word today that Baker Publishing is joining the party, joining many other publishers, and they are donating 100 copies of Dr. James R. White's book, The Forgotten Trinity, which I had the honor of receiving the dedication in that book to me. That book is dedicated to me, and I thank James for that wonderful honor that I will cherish forever. And I'm sure you have read The Forgotten Trinity, haven't you, Dr. Costa?
Absolutely, and I've recommended it to my students at the seminary.
And Dr. Costa has also been a speaker at the Pastor's Luncheon, and I'm sure you had as great of a time as I did when you were there at the luncheon.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I want to just quickly address again Ida to remind her of a couple of things. First of all, remember that Bishop Mari Emanuel was clearly not being ecumenical with evangelical Protestants when he said you cannot be forgiven if you do not receive the true flesh and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, that you couldn't view them symbolically. And so therefore, he is being as severely critical of us as we are of him. So this is not just a one-way street. Also, you have sent in charges that were intended to be read on the air publicly against Dr. Costa and myself, and claiming that we are in grievous error by even conducting this show. So what's the difference between your criticism of us publicly and our criticisms of Bishop Mari Emanuel? I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yep, that's a point well taken, Chris. That's a point well taken.
And I really want to make sure, Tony, before we go to any listener question, that you summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners so that they may be more aware and more clearly warned with facts about Bishop Mari Emanuel, who we've already acknowledged has many gifts. He's a powerful orator, putting many evangelicals to shame in his abilities to speak, that he is often hitting the nail on the head and correct in his biblical interpretations. We're not denouncing everything about him. I don't believe that he is intentionally deceiving people like many in the Word of Faith Pentecostal realm are.
Right.
And his sermons are saturated with biblical content, unlike many people in the Word of Faith ministries and other false churches. But still, he needs to be warned about, and if you could, please summarize.
Yes. So what I would say is that whenever the Word of God is read and we hear the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ or the word of God. And so this is why Chris and I believe that Roman Catholics hearing the gospel preached from the pulpit in a Roman Catholic church can be used. That can be used by God to regenerate them. And it has. In fact, the reformers were saved while they were still within the Roman Catholic Church. And therefore, the God saves them in spite of their denomination in those cases. God is sovereign. We believe in the visible church, the invisible mystical church made up of all God's elect. And so, and that is why we hear Roman Catholics coming to faith in a Roman Catholic church or in the Eastern Orthodox. They hear the gospel preached, they come to faith. But the issue here is that they are convicted by scripture, and that is why many of them leave those denominations into a Bible-believing church. That's what I did. I was raised Roman Catholic, heard the gospel many times, But then I realized I could not stay within the Roman Catholic Church because of its inconsistencies with Scripture. And the same thing applies to the ancient Church of the East. They do have these Marian prayers, prayers to Mary, prayers to saints, the Eucharist being the real flesh, transubstantiation. And these are not tertiary matters, because anything that affects the gospel is not tertiary. This is not a question of whether we use grape juice or wine at the Lord's Supper or unleavened bread or leavened bread. These things we could agreeably. But when you touch on the gospel, what makes a man right with God, which was the whole issue behind the Reformation? How is a sinful man justified before a holy God? The question of the nature of the gospel is pivotal. And so this is why I always recommend people read Galatians. And people say, oh, Paul's talking about the Old Testament laws. He's talking about circumcision. Just substitute circumcision with baptism, with intercession, with church tradition, with prayers to the saints. It's an addition to the gospel. And anything that adds to the finished work of Christ is an abomination. Christ is a perfect Savior. He finished the job. He atoned for our sins. He purged our sins in his own blood. And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, which means it is finished. It's perfect. And God has accepted that one perfect sacrifice, never to be repeated again. And that is why at the end of the day, as you know, Chris, you and I are going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're accountable to him when it comes to the gospel. We're not accountable to offending people. I'd rather have men angry at me than have God angry at me. And so I must be faithful to his calling. I must stand up for the gospel of grace. And God forbid, as Paul says, may it never be that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is why we do what we do, because we love people. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is far more precious than any human attachment or relationship.
Amen. Well, how should our listeners find out more about you and your ministry? What is the best link, or the best links, plural, for us to explore you and your ministry?
Yeah, I'd say through my social media. If you go to YouTube, you can subscribe to Toronto Apologetics. Just put Tony Costa, Toronto Apologetics. A lot of my work is on there. There's a lot of debates, a lot of theology, a lot of interviews, which included yourself as well, Chris. You've been on my YouTube channel. So I would encourage people to do that. I'm also on Facebook, if you follow me on Facebook. And also, I do have a book coming out very soon, and it's entitled No King But Christ, The Collapse and Bankruptcy of Secular World Views. And so that book is going to be out probably, God willing, the next 2 weeks or so. So stay posted, and just check out my YouTube channel. Most of my ministry work is mentioned there.
And I would strongly urge people to look up on YouTube Tony Costa's message at the Iron Sharpens Iron radio luncheon. He gave a really powerful and eye-opening message on the infiltration of Marxism into the church and into nearly every other sphere of American life. Will astonish many of you. Well, I want to thank you so much, Tony. It's always a joy to have you on the show. I look forward to many frequent returns by you. I look forward to seeing you face-to-face for a wonderful time of fellowship, and hope that we can pull off that debate in 2025 on the ordination of women, of which you will be taking the opposing position, of course. I want to thank all of our listeners. I want to ask you to all pray for Mari Emanuel, not only for his physical health, but that he would be transformed by the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, that he would be truly saved and spend the remainder of his days preaching the true, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that you all have a blessed and happy and joyful and wonderful weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.